Welcome to Connections. I'm Bill Newell with Rick Moore. And we are here. We've got two great guests coming up on the program. Tim Flaherty, who is the executive director of the Cape Ann YMCA. We'll talk about the work going on there right now at the YMCA, as well as their new construction going on. Plus, he is a city councilor at large, City of Beverly. We'll check in on any stories breaking on that. And also, Danica Thurston will be joining us. She is the executive director of the Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts. They have a new initiative out there. We have it on our post as to what they're doing. By the way, we also have some photos from the new construction at the Cape Ann YMCA. And I've talked, but Rick, welcome, and welcome to Thursday. What a nice surprise today's weather was, huh?
Hi, Bill. Yeah, it is. It's very nice. It's kind of wet out there. Went out this morning, but it's a beautiful day, and the world keeps on spinning. You mentioned the construction of the new YMCA in Gloucester, and it's interesting to see so many businesses and shops closed all over the area, and then you drive to Blackburn Circle, and you see all the activity there. So life goes on.
It does, and I've also noticed I was out yesterday in the car, and I was also struck by the amount of road construction out there and what a mess it would be right now if there was actually traffic. I mean, there were delays. That's how bad this construction
right.
was. There were delays even yesterday because
right.
obviously there's not a lot of traffic now.
Yeah, been a lot of work on 128, and I notice again, walking the streets of Gloucester, a lot of the shops and restaurants and places that are closed, I don't see a lot. But some, more than one, several, have taken the time to do renovation. And so they're, you know, doing stuff that maybe they would have put off otherwise.
Tim Flaherty, the executive director of the Cape Ann YMCA, is joining us. And Tim, welcome. Thanks for taking some time to join us.
Absolutely, Bill. Glad to be here.
Tim, we have some photos up of the construction. I'll get to that in just a moment. But what is the Y doing right now? Although it's closed for you know, physical activities and so on, it's not completely closed?
Well, no, we're running emergency child care, number one, for the first responders. And we're also we're operating a homeless shelter here in conjunction with Action, Inc. and the Gray Center here in Gloucester. We had a nice little relationship with the mayor and told her we could do anything to help out during the situation while the Y is, you know, physically closed. And we got together and decided, hey, this would be a great location to help out with the homeless population because of social distancing. And so we have 30 down at the Action homeless shelter, and then there's 30 here that have turned the gymnasium into a housing facility with a kitchen and beds, and they have shower facilities here. So it's really worked out well, and they got tested. They're all clean. It kind of helps out them, helps out the community, and we're glad the Y could be of help.
That's a terrific story. I know of a couple of other places that are doing that as well, but that is terrific and a great service for the community. When you interact with the city and so on, what are you hearing? What else are you hearing?
Well, I think everybody's struggling right now. I think there's a lot of fear out there, a lot of concern, trying to get the economy moving again. And, you know, there's fear from the cities, you know, collecting tax revenue, collecting excise tax revenue. And it's a concern, but also on the business front, there are a lot of small businesses, you know, in the North Shore that might not ever reopen. And that affects families. That affects the communities that they have those businesses in. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty and fear that people are kind of worried about. But if we don't move forward in a timely fashion in some way, it could be devastating for everybody.
Certainly the sooner that things can get back or begin to reopen would be the sooner the better, I'm sure, as you're saying on that piece. Tell me about the child care piece. That's been going on right from the beginning, probably. Does that sound right?
Yes, exactly. So when the governor on March 16th shut down, businesses for the most part, first responders needed some child care. So the Y has been operating some different locations across the North Shore, emergency child care for the first responders. So that's what we've been doing, and, it's been very successful, but it's also, you know, different way. Like the Y is used to operating, you know, in a different capacity, and we had to pivot, like everybody else did. But we wanted to kind of kind of what the Y does. We meet the needs of the community. So that's what we did, and now we're helping them out. And actually, we just started offering first responders free memberships to the Y, too, when we reopened, to kind of give them a little bit of thanks for doing all they're doing. You know, they do a lot of great things in helping out the community. So that's what we do in the child care part.
That is terrific. I mean, there's no way you can even talk about looking at when the Y might reopen, but I got to ask the question.
Yeah, it's a good question. So the governor did say that the preschools, child care, can open on June 29th. So that's where we're planning towards that. We also have camps that we run. So a lot will depend on May 18th and that task force that the governor is talking about, and, you know, what can open, what has to be done in stages. We're hopeful hopefully right after the beginning of June we might be able to open. In what capacity, we don't know. But I know a lot of people are itching to get back, not only to the Y, but out into the community to kind of be productive in the community.
Tim, the new YMCA under construction, and we have some photos up on the post regarding that. Thanks for those photos. And where do you stand with construction?
Well, we're moving along. Construction is going well. Wendover, who is building the facility, planned ahead when this is all. They saw this coming. They got a lot of supplies and got them ahead of time and stored them on site, which has been very helpful. But even that being said, there might be some delays a little bit because just the nature of doing business has slowed down a little bit, and what they're trying to do to keep everybody safe and everything. So it's kind of slowed it down, but we're still hoping for January opening here for the new Y, because we have set from the preschool to the pool to the gym to the fitness center. There are a lot of things to think about, but it's, as you can see through those pictures, it's coming along and it's going fairly quick at this stage. The roof is going on, so there's a lot of interesting pieces that are coming together, like putting a puzzle together. Now you can kind of actually see what it's going to be looking like. It's very exciting, especially in the situation we're in right now. We don't know when we're going to reopen the new Y. We're not too sure where we're going to be. It's a good sign of things to come if we can open up in January.
I did an interview now several weeks ago, probably a month, well over a month ago, with the Lynn YMCA, and they did the emergency child care thing as well. And they've got the construction going on with their new Y, which is set to open. As of at least a month ago, they were right on schedule as well for their YMCA. Tim, I got to ask you one other thing maybe about the financing. I remember at the groundbreaking, there was still more work to do on fundraising. I have to think that some of this has kind of boggled that up a little bit, the fundraising effort, although it's...
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's been very difficult to do that because operationally, we're trying to, operate the shelter, have the emergency child care, and so money becomes tight, and trying to be able to kind of make sure we, don't lose too much money, which we obviously have. So we have a relief fund, which will help. But the people aren't really thinking capital. We've had some commitments before, and we're just trying to maintain and sustain some of those commitments. But you're right, it is difficult in this time because it affects everybody to be able to be able to donate. But we're still kind of have our head down and trying to do what we can do and trying to meet with people because there are some people who are still able to be able to donate. So we're just kind of working that until the foreseeable future, because we still have well over $1 million to raise. We're looking to raise like 22 in this phase. A little over a million that we have left. The goal was 22, so we're about around 21 right now.
Tim, I want to shift gears and head down to Beverly for a second. You're a city councilor at large, city of Beverly. I understand that Beverly, the council right now, is relatively quiet. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, it is, because it's the virtual meetings. We have them, every once a week thereabouts, but it's, there's things that we have, like the master plan, which is at a standstill, trying to, with kind of working on that in the past year when this came about, kind of everything came to a halt. But hopefully, the next month or two, we'll be able to kind of get that moving in the right direction, because you need a lot of public input. Even with these virtual meetings that we're doing, like everybody's doing, it's still not the same. Still trying to be able to see things and having public input, not only with the master plan, but everything that the city does, and being, you know, whether it be a planning board, the zoning board of appeals. There's a lot that goes on, but it's a lot easier to have those public meetings. And even though the virtual meetings are public, it's still a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah. So you're getting to be pretty good at Zoom, Tim?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. With everything is a silver lining, because even within the Y or other meetings, they've gotten better at Zoom or Google Meets or Microsoft Office. It's actually been eye-opening, because you become somewhat, when we do reopen, you know, especially with, like, I think of the Y's, you know, the seven Y's, you know, we usually go to Beverly to meet, but, you know, there's a lot of travel and a lot of waste of time. We've gotten a lot done through Zoom meetings, and been a little bit more efficient. So when we do open up, I think not only us, but I think a lot of cities and businesses will be able to do a little bit more with the Google Meets and the Zoom meetings.
Yeah, you know, I think the YMCA could be running some Zoom yoga classes come the fall, maybe, you know?
Well, it's funny you say that. We are. We have virtual yoga classes and group X classes right now. So if you're a member, you can go online and you can sign up, and we have our health and wellness directors and group X instructors doing virtual online classes for our members. It's been well received, so it keeps people in touch and motivated during this difficult time.
Yeah, I've been doing more Zoom too, Tim, but I don't feel like I'm in any better shape for some reason.
I'm right with you. I need to do the virtual meetings, not only the virtual meetings, but the virtual workouts as well.
Exactly. Hey, I was gonna transition. When I said it was quiet at the council meetings in Beverly, I was gonna transition to the Flaherty home. You told me a story earlier before we went on that it's buzzing at the Flaherty home at this time. Tell me about that story with the kids back.
Well, it's funny, when the kids are younger, you know, when they're all in elementary school, of course mine are 25, 24, 23, and 21 ages right now, but when they're in elementary school, they didn't go far, unless, you know, we all went together, and we were all at the kitchen table together. And again, the silver lining, about this, now they're all home, and they are, when we're on the kitchen table, there's not, you know, sports to go watch, or there's not, a friend's house to go see. Everybody's staying at the dinner table, kind of like the olden days, you know. There wasn't as much going on, and there's a lot more family time. So, you know, dinners who might start at 5 or 6 are going, you know, you're still there 2 hours later just talking. It's been great talking about all football stories, or lacrosse, or track, and all the things that they did in high school and college. It's kind of, you kind of relive the moment, and it's kind of, and you just relive how lucky and fortunate we were as a family.
Well, Tim, that's one of the best stories I think I've heard out of this whole thing, and for the Flahertys, congratulations on that. Stay safe and stay well. And Tim, thanks for all of your time and information here from the Cape Ann YMCA and as well as the Beverly Council.
Absolutely, Bill. Anytime, appreciate it.
All right, Tim Flaherty with us again, Executive Director, Cape Ann YMCA, and of course, City Councilor of Large City of Beverly here on Connections. It has turned out to be a beautiful day here on the North Shore. Just ahead, Danica Thurston, Executive Director, Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, and then our panel.
Hey, feeling good, like I should. When in Durban, walk around the neighborhood.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Uh-huh. Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Danica Thurston, the executive director of Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, is joining us on the line, socially distancing here. Danica, welcome. Thanks for taking a few minutes to join us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I saw an email from the organization where you are looking for input from Lynn residents and others, I'm sure, on their experiences on the coronavirus, COVID-19. So, tell me what that project is about. I know the museum has done a number of things like that in the last several years, but what is this one about?
So this is really just an opportunity to capture this moment in our city's history and to really hear from the community how they're experiencing this, how they're responding, and how they're going to make it through. This is an effort that a lot of historical-based institutions, whether it be museums or societies or archives, globally are trying to capture this moment and preserve this moment. And I think it's also very therapeutic to give the community an opportunity to really share what they're going through. I know a lot of us have adapted to the kind of the digital age of things, of what we're dealing with COVID. But for those folks who may not have an outlet to share or somewhere to vent, it's a great opportunity to just share. So it's been really interesting to see the responses coming through. They're largely positive. People that have responded thus far, it seems like, they've obviously been impacted. But in terms of, knowing folks that have been infected by the virus, a lot of the folks that have responded, luckily haven't lost anyone. I think it's just great to really see what's going on in the city of Lynn right now.
I don't want credit for this, Danica, but I see the wall mural or the wall photo, the black and white photo of us walking, in front of a building in Lynn. It doesn't matter what street, could be any street, with the face masks on. I mean, that is the scene in the city right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, anywhere you look, I'm actually sitting in the Lynn Arts Building right now, right in the main gallery space, and everyone that's walking by is wearing a face mask.
I know. And I noted that about a week ago that, that's good. That's great. I mean,
people are great.
Yeah. Yeah. People are respecting the virus, if you will, and so on. So, how do they do that now? If they have information that they'd like to share with you, stories or so on. And by the way, the other piece here is that we often forget. I mean, this is a big historical moment and we're living through it and surviving it. And hopefully it will pass sooner rather than later. But it is a big historical moment and worth saving.
Yes, absolutely. So we have two ways that you can submit. We have a Google form that's in English, and we also have a Google form that's in Spanish. Right now it's available on our Facebook page, and will shortly actually be available on our website. We're actually redoing our website right now, so we'll build out a new feature on there for this. We're just, you can fill out the survey as many times as you'd like as the crisis continues. We're hoping for more people to participate and, like I said, just preserve this critical moment in our history.
Now, tell us about the museum itself. What is happening, even though the doors are closed, if you will?
Yeah, so we're still working. I myself am there about 3 days a week. In the building by myself, practicing social distancing, just applying for loans and grants for our operational expenses, checking in with our board regularly, as well as our board president. I think I have a phone conversation with him just about every day, just to update him on, day-to-day operations. We're working on membership renewal asks. We've added a donation feature on our ticket website. It's the easiest way to support the work that we're doing. I'm rotating objects in our gallery spaces. Since I'm in the building alone, it's much easier to do that because we plan to reopen and we look forward to reopening. So we're doing all that we can to make sure that, once you know, it's safe and the governor declares that it's safe to do so, we open those doors and people can come back in.
Well, certainly a museum, it seems like you could socially distance on certain things, but yet you often would have special programs there in your great meeting space there that you have for the public and so on. And those things will have to, you'll have to wait and see on those in the months ahead as well, I'm sure.
Right. We're trying to figure out what does that look like. You know, we had a robust programming schedule for the year as well as a number of event rentals. So really trying to figure out whether or not those things happen this year, because we recognize that even though it might be safe to do so, a lot of folks won't feel comfortable, you know, meeting with, you know, 10, 15, 20 other people in one space. So what are the measures that we can put forth for folks to experience the museum or the Lynn Arts building, but in a safe way? So looking to that and just figuring out what we can accomplish this year and then, you know, hoping 2021 is a better story.
And what about the Lynn Arts building itself? What is imagine that's pretty much shut as well, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much shut to the public at least. You know, we do have tenants in the building, in all four floors of the building. A lot of them, you know, all of them have their own private studio spaces. So we probably see about 4 to 5 artists in the building every day that are in their space kind of working on art. You know, a lot of those artists unfortunately have been furloughed. So I think it's great that they can still come here and make art and, you know, use their creative passions. But yeah, hopefully soon, you know, with Arts After Hours, they lease our Black Box Theater. I know that they're hoping to once again have some performances, maybe this fall. And then with the gallery spaces that are leased by Galleries at Lynn Arts, I know they're eager to put on another gallery show. They're actually working on a postcard exhibition and are looking for submissions, via mail or digitally. And I believe it's supposed to become a digital exhibition in lieu of having an exhibition in their actual space.
Yeah, okay, great. Hey, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is if you look around, I mean, there are museums everywhere, small towns, small museums, larger museums, and so on. And what are you hearing? This doesn't sound quite right within the industry or with other people regarding the museums and history kinds of related topics. What is happening with that kind of group of organizations?
You know, I think a lot of museums are looking to capture this moment in history, just like we are with this archive, seeing what they can do to help out in the immediate, whether it's donating any PPE supplies that they might have in the building, you know, celebrating some of the work that their members might be doing, some of their corporate members in the community towards, you know, making it through this crisis. But I, you know, for museums, it's hard. You know, you see that some institutions, I know like the Mystic Seaport Museum in Connecticut had to close indefinitely and lay off, I think, over almost 200 staff members. So, you know, there is the question, you know, whether or not some of these organizations will be able to survive something like this. Depending on the infrastructure that they have in place.
Yeah, you also have organizations like the aquarium, which would, you know, obviously need to have staff doing their essential work there, but not being open for sure, yeah.
Right.
Hey, Danica, anything else about the Lynn Museum or that to share with us? But how are you doing? You mentioned some grants. Any news on those grants? Anything more specific?
Yes, so we got a payroll protection loan. Luckily, we're very, very excited, very fortunate to have been able to get that funding because I know a lot of nonprofits, small businesses have applied for those loans. And, you know, the money went, you know, as soon as it, I feel like the application went out, that money was gone. And luckily, there's a second round of funding. So we hope that those folks, especially in Lynn, that are looking for those resources can get them. But we're excited to bring back some of our furloughed staff at least for 8 weeks. That's the period that we have. And then we've also received some smaller grants that will hopefully go towards staffing and making sure that we can pay our employees and have them back and bring back a little sense of normalcy for us as an organization.
I got to say this, Danica, your job and what you're doing day to day must have drastically changed in the last 4 weeks, 8 weeks rather, right?
Yes. Yes, you know, it's going from, you know, we planned a huge breakfast fundraiser, Toast of Lynn, that was scheduled for April 14th as well. You know, we have our annual meeting for all of our members in May. So we have these big, you know, crucial events that really, you know, benefit us and help us in the long run, especially financially. And all of those things just, you know, fell off the table. You know, we've lost estimated, you know, about $50,000 in revenue in the time that we've been closed. And so that's really hard. But, you know, we're doing the best that we can to, you know, move past this, get through this, and make sure that we survive this as an institution, you know, that we are able to maintain our collection of over 10,000 objects, specifically Lynn's history, because, you know, we're a beacon here in Lynn. You know, we're in the heart of the Arts and Culture District, and we want to continue to be here and continue to be a resource for the community.
Well, Danica, it's a great resource. We'll put a link up on our website as well, lynnmuseum.org, lynnmuseum.org. And Danica, thanks so much for taking some time to join us and being so optimistic at this time. It's good to hear that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we appreciate it, the shout out. And, you know, like I said, we'll get through this. We'll get through this together as a city. And Lynn Lynn is strong. We got this.
Danica Thurston, Director, Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, here on Connections.
All right, back with Connections, Bill. I want to mention one thing in Manchester by the Sea yesterday. You know, these parades and these flyovers and everything. Well, they didn't have a jet flyover in Manchester by the Sea, but they did have a car parade. And it's part of the 375th birthday celebration of Manchester by the Sea that's sort of been curtailed quite a bit. But in so doing, the car parade was also honoring essential workers. It took place starting at 7:45 a.m. yesterday. And it's pretty cool to see it on the front page of the Gloucester Times. And you see Chief Fitzgerald out there with another police officer waving at the cars going by. So I like the efforts of people to try to lift other people's spirits. Even though you may be down, you're able to go out and try to boost someone else. So I like that attitude.
It's funny, we just heard earlier today from Tim Flaherty, of the Beverly City Councilor at Large, and he was sharing a story, which is probably one of the better series of stories that I've seen regarding this, is that his family, and they have some 20-year-olds, they have four kids, they're in their 20s, and they're all back. So they're actually sharing some great family time, you know, together. And so that's kind of a neat thing, that the story that they were able to share. Kind of like the old days when the kids were maybe in elementary school or something like that. So there are those stories out there. And
well, I also see the governor is thinking of, looks like they're going to reopen golf courses pretty soon. And I was talking with a golfer yesterday, and he said that, you know, even when there are no restrictions, he said, you know, when he's out there playing golf with two, three, four other guys, they don't get close together anyway. Even when they're walking, you know, from the hole to the tee or up the fairway, they don't get close anyway. So they're very much looking forward to getting back out on the golf course.
Yeah, I mean, if I were golfing, and I don't anymore, but if I were, you know, I'm probably not going to catch it walking through the woods looking for my ball or digging around in a pond or a water trap or something like that. I'm, you know, probably not going to get the virus there. I did want to mention one other thing, Rick, on the this is in the item they have. This is actually their top story on the Lynn Food Security and the task force that they have there. It's actually there's all kinds of information in the article, and it one of the guys that's featured in it is Norris Gussett, who is the director of the Lynn Food and Fitness Alliance, and they talk about all the things that they're doing, but I'm just going to read one thing here, and he says this: even with the increase, this is a Gayla Colley story, in the community efforts centered around food distribution throughout the outbreak, Gussett says that there's a sizable number of Lynn residents who are not getting the food they need. I know for a fact that there's been a piece who have, let me see here, residents that are experiencing heavy food insecurity, he says, and I reached out to the Lynn Community Health Center, and they're saying that their patients are experiencing this, and we need to figure out how, why, and what resources we already have and how we can adjust them. This story is a very comprehensive story, and they also talk about transportation. They also talk about the lack of fresh food for folks. And now, Rick, on top of that, we're hearing that there's a run on grocery stores. I haven't been in one lately, but there's a run on grocery stores, and I wouldn't be surprised on meat because we're hearing about meat shortages and things like that. And so that's not going to help out people either, the people that really need to go and get their stuff and can't stock up. You know, I've heard stories of people that had stocked up on meat for a long time, but that part doesn't bother me as much. I think we'll get through that piece, but yet it doesn't mean that there isn't a run and currently a run on that stuff. So I know the grocery stores are limiting that piece as well. So this impact of the food piece has come into play, but I'm hoping that this could be alleviated in the next few weeks. You know, you hope so.
I think it's shocking that we have this hunger problem going on right now. It's just it's just mind-boggling. And, you know, we were talking about, my wife and I were having coffee this morning out on the patio, and we were talking about the standard of living and how, at least for the foreseeable future, I think everybody has to realize that our standard of living has to be ratcheted back quite a bit.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. And yet, on the other hand, there are, you know, we can make a case that there are many people that are able to, you know, we've all had to make adjustments on that piece, but we don't have this to the case in point. We're not personally living through the piece that is in this story in Lynn about the food insecurity. And it is just amazing to me. We continue to do these stories, Rick, about the volume of work that these organizations are doing. I mean, we can't even keep track of it all, Rick. I mean, clearly we can't, of all the work being done in the cities and towns in the area to help people secure food, basically, is what it is. And who would ever think that we are at this point? We knew we had a lot of this even before, but now it's times whatever. I don't know what it would be times, but certainly times 3, 4, 5, 10, who knows? It's just it's an issue for sure.
Right, and I think that we will do the best we can in promoting how to get people help. And, you know, places like all the places we've talked to, the food pantries in Lynn and Newburyport and Gloucester and so on, people are still continuing to support that, even though some people, their pockets are getting a little dry with money as well. And as you said, you know, some of the stuff in the grocery stores just ain't available.
Exactly. And one of the things we talked about is money. So if you do think about it, this week we did have the national/global Day of Giving for organizations. Do take another look at that if you can, if you are listening to us, for an organization, a food pantry, something, some group in your neighborhood, your community rather, certainly worth supporting. Well, Rick, what do we have tomorrow? We got a few things tomorrow in the Connections, right?
I think we do. We'll be talking with Bill Kirk, the Eagle Eye on the Merrimack Valley from the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. He's going to bring us up to speed on what's going on up there. And he actually was the guy, he tipped us off on the fact that the Gloucester Fiesta has been postponed to at least September 12 and 13. But he's going to talk mostly about Merrimack Valley stuff. And I also will be talking with the president of the Superintendents of School Association in Massachusetts, Dr. Christine McGrath. She's well known in the area, particularly in Gloucester. Terrific educator, longtime superintendent of schools, and longtime now president of the association. And we'll be getting information about what's going on in that organization.
Yeah, that sounds great. Good stuff. That's all tomorrow on Connections. And there was a story, we did it in North Shore Today, Rick, but there's a story in the Salem News today by Paul Layton that Beverly High School is still possibly looking at trying to have a traditional graduation, whatever that means, probably some adjustments on that piece, but interesting to see a story like that in the paper when we're seeing so many other things just completely wiped out. And you mentioned the Fiesta, Rick. I saw that they had a clip on that today on Channel 5 in the local news. They also had the Brockton Fair that has been canceled, and they had one other thing that was canceled as well, some long-standing kind of events that are being delayed. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and there's an article in the Gloucester Times about Gloucester High School graduation plans, but it really doesn't. There's nothing planned at the moment. Everything is still up in the air. And I had one other comment, but completely lost it. So let's move on.
That was my fault, probably, for interrupting you. So
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Well, that happens to some of us a lot.
To some of us more than others. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, that's what I have, Rick. I wanted to make sure let the folks know what we have for tomorrow. We're also continuing our features, and we will be getting on those. We have been featuring some of the athletic programs in the area, and later on we'll also be talking with some of the students from the area high schools as well with their principals. We're putting those pieces together as we speak. And I know tomorrow later on or this weekend we'll have another edition of the Sports Writers for the Salem News. So we have a lot of things happening on the website.